I would like you to turn in your Bibles, if you brought it with, and I trust you did, to Numbers chapter 13. And as we look at this passage, let me say, ask you this question to be in the back of your mind. If God were to have his total way in your life, or in the life of this church, what would it look like? I'm talking about his total way. His will would be implemented to its fullest extent. I want to look at this Numbers passage, just to set the stage. Some of us know it well, and others might not know it at all, that God had, just in very distant past, had just taken a million people through the Red Sea, parted it, saved them, got them away from Pharaoh's army, and literally when Pharaoh's army continued to follow in their arrogance, he killed them all. They wander around just a little bit, and they get opportunity to go into the promised land, which God had been promising for hundreds of years. And they get there, and Moses is told by God to send in some spies, and he took leaders from 12 tribes and sent them in. And these leaders went in and spied out the promised land. And you have some that caught the vision of God, a couple of men did. But many of the others did not. You got to ask yourself, what's the difference? And how do I become a Joshua or a Caleb in regards to the way I view life versus being one of the others? What does it mean for a person to have a vision? Well, when I'm using this word, I'm not talking about just being able to see. I can count the lights in the back, and I can even sit here and count everyone that's in this auditorium. That's sight. I'm not talking about sight. I'm talking about vision, and the way I'm using it is a sense of the leading, the prompting, the passion of God in our lives. That's what I'm talking about when I say, do you have a vision? Yes. Sense the vision of God, that drawing, that your heart panting for, this is what God would have me to do, I'm going to do nothing else. What is your vision? Seriously. Do you have a vision? I think one of the tragedies of our day is most people lack a vision. What are you looking for God to do in your life? Or are you simply getting up in the morning and going through the motions? Because the Lord knows it's easy to do. It is pathetic how easy it is to be a hamster in a wheel. Just get up and start running and end up in the very same place you started. If God were to have a total way in your life, what would it look like? What would it look like in our church? Which is a great question. We've been here for 15 years. It's a great time for us to ask ourselves, what would God want with our church? We have been strategically placed. Unique. We face, I'll tell you what, I talked to a lot of pastors. These issues that we face in our church are like no other pastors facing. You know, that just our church is dealing with some different issues. All right. What's his vision for us? Let's read this together. It's in Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to read the first through verse 29, then we'll stop for just a second. And they turn and recognize now they're sending in the spies, and the spies returned out of the land for after 40 days. So they wandered around looking in the promised land. The people were on the other side of the Jordan, and they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land, which, by the way, was very good. And they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. In other words, this is a good place. Nevertheless, the people who were dwelling in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They were giants. So these, an analogy, no, I'm not going to use that, inappropriate. And then Amalekites drew, dwell in the land of the south, and Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So the report was, the land is really, really, really good, flowing with milk and honey, but the cities are fortified and the guys are big. Now notice, you're going to get the first one is Caleb and Joshua's report. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." So he looks at this and says, no, I'm not. He wasn't arguing with the fact that the cities were fortified and the people are big. He's not saying that. But let's just go take it. Let's be about it. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.' And there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight." Notice, you know, it's really a lot of interesting words. We were like grasshoppers, so it's their vision. In our own sights, it's clearly they see themselves that way. And so we were in their sight. In this story, there are two kinds of people. Those who had a vision what God can do. And then there's the other ones, those that don't. You understand the difference? Is where God is. The one they both saw, then it wasn't like the one group, Caleb and Joshua, didn't miss the fact that the guys were big and the cities were fortified, but they saw it relative to God being in the mix. God is over it all. God trumps it all. And the others couldn't see God at all. How do you think the spies were affected when they saw the giants living in the land in their great fortified cities? Well, the truth is, they were horrified. They were overwhelmed. They said, we can't get there from here. We can't make it. Why don't you think Caleb and Joshua were affected? Well, they saw God, and they trusted God. God said, go in and take it, and it wasn't a matter of what they were taking, it wasn't a matter of what they're going up against, it is recognizing that God has clearly said, do it. And therefore, they're going to do it. How did the other spies describe their feelings? Notice verse 33, they saw the giants, and they were like grasshoppers. And they truly believed that the giants viewed them as grasshoppers. Just a bug to be smashed. Joshua and Caleb could see God. And they could see God in it and what God would do. And guess what? God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the same God. He still trumps all of the issues that we face. The others were living their life based on their own diagnosis, based on their own capabilities, and it was a pretty frightening place. You see the point that I'm trying to get across? The point that I'm trying to challenge you with is which way do you look at life? Yes, some of you in here have some huge problems. There's no question about it. But God is a lot bigger than your problem. Joshua and Caleb focused on God. They trusted in the Lord with all their heart and leaned not on their own understanding. In all their ways, they acknowledged him and they allowed him to direct their paths. The others did not view it that way. We have a New Testament verse that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Do you believe it? If you believe it, then you just got to figure out what God would have you to do and be about doing it. The other spies did this. They focused on physical things. Fortified cities, other people, than their physical size. Now, it was really significant to me as I was dwelling on this. They were overwhelmed by the stature of a man who may have been 7 or 8, 9 feet tall, and that's big. But relative to a God who spoke everything into existence, this is nuts to be worried about a 9-foot man. If God is in it, that man has no capability to do anything other than to fall flat on his face and potentially worship the Lord himself. Do you feel like you see the world that is around you through spiritual eyes? You know, I should have brought sunglasses. You ever seen these sunglasses that have the yellow lenses? And then some others you can see, and some of them have these blue lenses. I don't have any, so I couldn't bring any. But they're kind of cool at sometimes. When I was younger, I thought they might have been cool, but I don't think they're so. They don't look so good on me at any rate at this point. But at any rate, when you look through them, when you look through yellow glasses, what do you see? Everything looks with a yellow tint. And if you take them off and put on the blue glasses, how do they look? Well, everything takes on a blue tint. Let me tell you, too many of us are looking at life, our own lives, our own existence, not through spiritual eyes, but through worldly eyes. And the key is to start looking at it from God's perspective. Two things affected the Israelites: lack of vision. One, their view of themselves. They said they were like grasshoppers. We have been made in the image of God. We are God's agent. We are God's tool. We are God's instrument. We are God's ambassador. In their view of God, it was not tiny, it was non-existent. That's the most stunning part about this to me. They had just seen all of this incredible stuff that God had done for them, and then they go into this other land, and 9 or 10 of them had no concept of God in the picture. I see a lot of people that are struggling with problems today. They're struggling with problems with no thought of where God is in the mix. What do you think you would look like if you saw yourself from God's eyes? If you were able to be God and look at you. You know, I was thinking about that and I was ashamed. You know, God has some plans for all of us here. And we can get caught up in the daily routine and the pressures of life and lose sight. Do you think it would change the way you feel God can do in your life if you could see it from God's perspective? Any of you feel like you can't get through the mess you're in? That's something we all struggle with, isn't it? You know, we say, oh, I can't. I have messed up so bad, I don't know that I can get from here to there. That's not true. Because when we say that, we sell our God short. What do you think you would learn if you could see your life from God's perspective? Well, I'll tell you what. He says it has a purpose. Do you think you would be more ready to let God use you? I think so. What do you think a person could do to help you, help them, help someone else? How could he help? I'm asking, what can I do to more clearly see the vision that God has for my own life, for us church? That's a great question, isn't it? What can you do to get a clearer vision? I don't have total answers to this, but I do have one. Stop and think about what God's doing. Somehow or another, don't allow yourself to get so caught up in the rat race that you don't meditate on His Word and connect with Him. How did the people of Jericho feel about going up against the Israelites 40 years later? Remember, these spies went in and said, they look at us like grasshoppers. We view ourselves as grasshoppers. They look like giants. 40 years later, this is 40 years later, four decades later, what had already happened before the spies went in still had an impact on all of these giants. I'm going to Joshua chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. Note this. This is someone who has a mindset of just looking at what God has already accomplished and says, if He can accomplish that, wow, we ought to take note. Joshua says, now before they lay down, Rahab, the spies had gone into the city again, and this was 40 years later, and came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us. Rahab was in Jericho, in the promised land. And here they are. The terror of the Lord had fallen upon them, that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon. So he was saying they took note of what God had done. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now here's my point. The enemy took note of what God had already accomplished and recognized that if he could do that, he could do this. Those of us who claim to know God, why don't we do the same thing? That is why we have the Bible, is to note what God has already accomplished, to stir our hearts, to encourage our hearts, to build our hearts. Did those in Jericho view them as grasshoppers? No. They were terrified. Why do some people never grasp a vision? Some people don't have a spiritual vision because of this. One thought, they are not focused on spiritual things. They're all about the material, the practical, the material, the physical things. Is that you? All about whether or not you're going to get the job, you're going to get this, you're going to have enough money. It's a real distraction. Be careful. They don't think God can use them. That's not true. God had, look at Paul. The Apostle Paul was a man who was out murdering Christians, and he was greatly used of God. So what happened in the past doesn't eliminate you from powerful ministry in the future. They wanted to leave God's work to other people. Oh yeah, that's something someone else to do, so they don't have a vision. But I'll tell you what, I don't think God's very impressed with that plan. He has a purpose for every one of us. We haven't dreamed with God about what He can do. My wife didn't like that statement, by the way. She said, what are you talking about? That sounds so abstract. Well, to me, it doesn't sound abstract. When I'm talking about just quietly connecting with God and praying and asking God, what would you have me to do? And how would you have me to do it? We need to do that on a personal basis. We need to get alone. It fits with what I talked about on Sunday. We need to get alone into our own mountaintop and connect. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. Show me you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's a powerful truth, isn't it? Call to me and I will what? Answer you and show you great and mighty things. And Ephesians 3 says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. That's the one we ought to be praying to, the one that has the capability to transform situations totally. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What would you desire to see God do in your life? Let God stir your heart to a vision of what he can do in your life, do in your family, and do in our church. That is what I want us to pray about. Every one of us individually getting a vision of being a tool in his army. Everyone in here. We need to stop just being spectators. Truly, we are soldiers in the army. And we got to get about accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the evening. I pray that this might challenge all of our hearts to reevaluate how we're spending our lives. We're just so journeying through. I pray that we might not waste our time here. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.